Rod Williams Show. Coming to you live. With the best in talk radio.
Hey, hey, my friends. This is T. Gerard Williams, your host and your executive producer of the T. Gerard Williams Show. And as always, my friends, we try to bring you the best of the best, and tonight is no exception. Tonight we have an author on the line with us all the way from Toronto, Canada. His name is Mr. Al-Nasir Rajan. Mr. Al-Nasir, did I get that right?
Yes, perfect.
Good, I'm glad I did. I had to try to struggle with that for a minute and break it down phonetically so I can make sure that we keep it correct. Hey, my friend, it is good to have you on the line with us. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to come and speak to my audience about your books. Now, we love authors on our show because anybody that can impart wisdom through books is all right with us. And so we're glad that you're here tonight. So, without further ado, sir, can you tell me a little bit about yourself first? I just want to go ahead and open it up so all of my friends become your friends and we are all on the same page. So just a little bit about yourself. Give us your name again so they'll know who I'm speaking to. And just give me a little quick little bio on you.
Okay, my name is Al-Nasir Rajan. I was born in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and I moved to Canada in 1995. When I came here, I had a project that I was working on. That was my first book, so I brought it here. But I have been working as an accountant ever since, and this has been something I've been doing on the side in my spare time, and because I love to write, so this is what I've been doing. And I published the first book in 2010, and this is the second book I just published in 2018.
Okay, so now we have two books. And you're saying that you started writing when you got into Canada?
Yeah, I had a script written back home in Africa before I came here for the first book. So when I came here, then I started working on it seriously.
Okay, well, let's do this. What's the name of the first book that you did?
The first book is called Invisible Birthmark.
Invisible Birthmark. That's right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, you sent me a little information about it, and so I got a little heads up on it, and I went ahead and looked at the summary, and I actually checked out some of the outlets that you can get the books, and in case you wanted to go ahead and read them yourself to the audience. But can you give me a little, and I know that these are factual books. These are books that are actually not fiction. This is actual stories that relate to your family. So the first book, Invisible Birthmarks, can you tell us, first of all, how did you come up with the name?
Oh, Invisible Birthmarks is, I came up with the name because there's a lot of things that people go through, the pain and the suffering, that you cannot see on the body, on the faces. They have all those marks inside their bodies, inside their hearts, inside. So it's somehow trying to explain that people have a lot of pain, a lot of suffering that I'm trying to share in this book. So they're all invisible, but I'm bringing them to light in the book.
Okay, so great title, great topic. And what I wanted to find out was, give me a little bit about the book, a little more personal, in-depth about the book.
Okay, the first book is not about my family. It's about friends and a lot of people that I used to know in Africa and who I used to talk to, because I love talking to mostly a lot of seniors because they have a lot of stories. So when the independence happened in Tanzania, pre and post independence in the 60s, maybe 63, 64. So before the independence, the place was ruled by the Sultan of Zanzibar. And then when it was taken over by the British, and then when they gave them the independence, the minorities were the ones who were in a lot of problems because they were not on either side. There was like a sandwich generation. So for them to survive through the changeover, because the new politicians were coming in, and they didn't want a lot of people. They were trying to murder all the Arabs they could find, and the Asians were caught in between. So a lot of these Asians who I met, who I talked to, told me about their life history and how they escaped Zanzibar and came to mainland Tanzania. So, and some of them went to Kenya, to Mombasa. So I picked up all these stories and I started writing about them. So that's how I came up with the first book.
So you chronicled their stories about the pre- and post-independence that was going on at the time.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay, that's great. I mean, and it's a great topic, and certainly the real-life stories are great. Wow. Now, the second book that you wrote, you said you wrote the first book in 2010, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and the second book you wrote in July of this year, correct?
Right, right.
Okay, and so what was the name of the, what is the name of the second book?
The second book is called Unfolding Africa.
And it's about?
It's about my grandfather who moved from India when he was 19 years old. His wife was 16 years old. They had three kids. It's just astounding to realize that people who got married so early at that time, and they were so mature that they could move and do business. Nowadays, a 19-year-old would hardly have this kind of maturity. But he came to Africa when he was 19 years old, when Africa was practically a jungle where all the tribes lived and everything. And he landed in Mombasa. Mombasa is the port in Kenya where the Aga Khan had set up somebody there to help them settle down and start businesses. So he came in 1897 and he started working for a very prominent guy at that time. His name was Alidina Bisram. So he used to help all the newcomers settle down, help them set up their businesses. And if they wanted to go into the jungle, he was setting up retail outlets along the railway that the British was building with the help of Indian workers. So he would set up all his small retail outlets, and my grandfather went and worked for him and learned how to set up his businesses. So once he had learned a lot about how to do it, then he started setting up his own outlets, and he brought in people from India, relatives, friends, and just started giving them shops, and they became his agents. So that's how he used to work while there was so much danger in the jungle. Like there was, slavery was still going on. There were wild tribes, wild animals, and tropical diseases, and a lot of uncertain circumstances and situations they had to come through. So it was a long, long time.
I can imagine. So 1897, he moved from India. And he was 19 years old. Wow, wow. And you know what? That entrepreneurial spirit, that's a great thing. Because in order to survive, you've got to learn how to make do with what you have and to excel in that. And that's a wonderful story.
Right, right.
And especially, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I know, I think it's amazing that they were so young at that time and they had so much entrepreneurial spirit and so much courage to go out alone and start doing their own business.
Yeah, and you said, and like you said earlier, you know, the maturity then is a lot different than the maturity today. I think if our young people today were going into in that kind of situation, they would all probably end up dead or starving somewhere.
Yeah, he already had three kids at that time. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because my mom used to tell me that when her father came here, when he got married, he was 15, and my grandmother was 12 years old.
Mm.
So they really got married early in those days.
Yeah. Now, the story continues. It doesn't stop there with your grandfather. It continues on through generations. I think you were saying that it was a continuation of the story. So let me hear more about the story. But before we do that, one second. Hey, my friends, listen, we are having a wonderful conversation. I want to make sure that you go and get your pens and pencils and a little piece of paper so you can write down where you can go and get a copy of these books, Invisible Birthmarks and Unfolding Africa. You need to make sure that you know how to get that, because in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask our author on the line where you can purchase these books. and so that you can add them to your bookshelf or to your reading collection. All right, so I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that, and in the meantime, we're getting back to our friend here, Mr. Al-Nasir Rajan. So the continuation of the story, a continuation of the generational story, can you take us through that now?
Yeah, when he was, when they reached, like, Kenya was practically wild, so the British had started building a railway. They wanted to build it all the way to Uganda. So when they reached a place called Voi, there is an area called the Tsavo National Park, which is now named Tsavo National Park. But that time, there were man-eating lions over there who used to come and prey on the workers, workers from India, from Africa, who used to work on the railway. And through all this hardship and everything, my grandfather survived and moved on and went all the way to Uganda. And he ended up settling down in the west of Uganda in a town called Kyotera. So that's mm-hmm. where he settled down and he raised his family and started trading there.
Okay. And so the story continues because I remember reading about your brother and his friends. So could enlighten us on that area, and then we're going to stop for a minute and get the places where we can get a copy of your books.
Right, right. So it was early in the 1900s when my grandfather passed away, maybe in the 1940s or 50s. And then I think I must have been very young at that time. I don't even remember seeing him. I just met my grandmother, but later on, decades later, you remember this army guy in Uganda called Idi Amin.
Oh, yeah, Idi Amin, yes.
Yeah, he practically just overthrew the government and brought in martial law. And I was actually in Uganda at that time in my grandmother's house in Kyotera when this happened in 1971. And I was leaving because I had to go and I was going to join my high school. And I remember the people were all happy and jubilant and stuff like that. But that didn't last too long because within a year or two, he wanted to control the whole country. And because it's made of different tribes, he wanted loyalty from every tribe. And if he didn't get any loyalty, he would just go and put the leaders into the prisons. And they had prisons that were famous for imprisoning all the political leaders and any opposition, and they would just put them in the prisons and just murder them, like question them, do all this, and nobody ever used to come out alive of those prisons. So what happened is in 1971, this is when he overthrew the government, then me and my mom and my siblings. And my mom's younger brother who passed away, he had four kids, so my mom adopted all those four kids, brought them to Tanzania. And my brother, my eldest brother, his name is Salim, he and his friends, they always used to like to go hitchhiking, but this time they said, we'll take a car. So they took a car and they went all the way to Uganda. And when they entered Uganda, they found the army all along from the border post in the towns and everywhere. Somehow, when they were planning to leave, they went to Kyotera and they stayed with my mother, my grandmother, in Kyotera for a day, and then they moved on to Masaka, which is the next town where my mom's sister and all her families live. And they stayed there for a couple of nights, and they were supposed to move and go to Kampala. But they somehow, when they went to the, going out of the town, they entered an intersection, and the Kabaka used to be the traditional chief, the leader in Uganda at that time. So he was passing with his convoy, and my brother and his friend's car crossed the road. So they somehow happened to break the law. So they were both put in the prison for about 2 months, and we didn't know if they were ever going to come back because they went into the same prisons that all the politicians were being put in. So my brother and his friend were transferred from the jail to the remand to the other prison, and they kept moving them so that we could not track them down. We couldn't trace them to get them released. So they went through a lot of hardship, and they saw a lot of people dying and being murdered and butchered, and they were made to carry all the bodies, put them on trucks, take them to mass graves and just throw them away. So that had a lot of effect on my brother. I know until today he doesn't live a normal life. Like, he's very humble, but I think the memories bother him a lot. So he doesn't live a very happy life. But
I can imagine. Yeah.
So
well,
he's here with us in Canada.
Oh, that's great then. Yeah.
He lives with my mother, but he's retired too.
Okay. Good. Well, hey, my friends, listen, I know you're intrigued by this story, and I know you want to know exactly how this story unfolds. So right now we're going to find out where you can find these books, or get a copy of this book, put it in your library.
If you're talking about it, because we're talking about it. The T. Gerard Williams Show. Yeah.
So, sir, could you tell us where we can get a copy of these books that you have, Unfolding Africa and Invisible Birthmarks?
Yeah, Invisible Birthmarks are available in all the online stores. But the Unfolding Africa, I have only a dedicated publisher called Lulu.com, L-U-L-U, Lulu.com. This is the only publisher that I have dedicated for that book. And you can go online and purchase it anytime. And they have a very good and fast delivery time, too.
Oh, okay, great. So that's Lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. And you can find Unfolding Africa.
Yeah, Lulu.com.
Right. Yeah. Lulu.com. That's great. And that's Unfolding Africa. And you can find Invisible Birthmarks on any online booksellers. Okay.
Right.
So now what we need to do is make sure that they know how to spell your name. So the first name is A-L-N-A-S-I-R. Last name is
R-A-J-A-N.
So make sure that when you look at the books, make sure that you find it by this author and no one else, and make sure you get a copy for your bookshelf. Now, you told us earlier that you were an accountant. So you're an accountant by profession. That's your day-to-day job. And author is something that you do because you're passionate about your books. But when you sit in your bio, you said something that I thought was really kind of interesting. You said, I wrote the books, but I haven't made any money writing, but it's a passion to keep your mind sane.
My purpose wasn't to make the money. I wanted to at least get my book published and get it out, because in Africa I couldn't print it. It was very controversial. And I always thought, if I publish it, they're going to put me in jail. Once I was out of Africa, I was at freedom. I said, now I can write about it properly, I can explain it, and I can publish it without fear. So that's why I started doing it here.
Well, that's amazing, I tell you. And it's good when you don't have money as your object, but just your passion to get the story told, you know, it comes out a lot better. And I thank you for writing these books, because this is a part of history that people need to know about, you know.
Right.
And so I really appreciate the fact that you took the time out of your life to publish these books. And I know my listening audience, which will now become your fan base, that they will enjoy reading all the incidents that you have in these books.
Right. It's funny, because some people told me that, who will want to read about your grandfather? Like, why would anybody be interested in grandfather? And I told that person, look, if you don't care about your own family, if you don't respect your own history, nobody will. So you have to first care about it, respect it, and share it. Then people will understand. If you don't have a passion for it, nobody will have it for you.
You're absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct. Wow. And if more people thought like that, you know, no one would question why you write a book or why is it so personal to you. You know, out of your personal life, you know, it bears fruit that would taste good to anybody who's interested in reading it. Well, sir, we have come to the end of our time here together, and I wanted to just give you a few minutes and just give our listening audience a parting word. If there was anything that you could say to them to either get them to motivated to go and chase these books down or to get them to want to know more about your story, I'm going to give you the floor just to go ahead and speak to the audience just to encourage them for just a minute.
Shall I start now?
Oh, yeah, go right ahead. Sir. The floor is yours.
Hi, listeners. This is Al Nasir Rajan. I'm the author of Invisible Birthmarks and Unfolding Africa. These are real life stories that I've shared in my books. And if you go through them, you will love the true lives that people live in Africa, how they led them before in the 1800s, how they led them before the independence and after the independence. And a lot of you people will relate to some of the events and how the lives they led. And I find a lot of similarities in the different stories that I can relate to with my family and how we moved from place to place, how we encountered problems and how we survived. And I think you will enjoy it a lot. And I would encourage you to buy the books, read them, but don't forget to put a review. Reviews are very important for me, so I know that you actually read them and understood. And when I get the feedback, I can understand if you wanted me to add something or you did I forget something or some idea that the readers would usually have a better perspective on the reader's side. So as a writer, I would appreciate any feedback from the readers. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that was well said, and because we're going to stand behind you and support you in any way we can by definitely cutting the online bookstores and definitely lulu.com to track down these books, and we're going to make sure, in fact, I'm going to commission the listening audience to make sure that they write reviews so that that you can get some needed and necessary feedback. And with that being said, my friend, I really appreciate you being with us tonight, and we will spend a little more time. We're looking forward to your next book already.
Thank you.
So having said that, my friend, this is T. Gerard Williams, your host and your executive producer of the T. Gerard Williams Show. And as always, I'll see you when I see you. Bye-bye now.
The heartbeat of talk radio.